This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey everyone, it's Mike. When Aaron and I sat down and recorded this episode, I forgot to bring up the NWA World Title match that happened this past Sunday, the 12th of November, and I really just want to give you my two cents about it. Sitting home Sunday night, all of a sudden I get a Facebook notification saying NWA's going live, and I'm like, shit, maybe it's the title match. So I, click on the link on my phone. Once I see that it is, I get my laptop fired up, and I got it going just before the match started. And it would have been nice if they would have done a notification earlier in the day saying, hey, tune in 8 p.m. tonight to see the match. They had some sort of vague, oh, turn your notifications on, you won't regret it type of thing. But I would have liked it if they just would have been more straightforward with it. I mean, I'm following them on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. I'm watching everything they're doing. They have me emotionally invested in this match, the 10 pounds of gold series, with showing us, just talking to Tim Storm, actually publicizing him as a champion for the first time in the year he's had the title, making us want to care about Tim Storm, making us care about Nick Aldis, showing us those two squash matches that they had leading up to this. I mean, I've loved the promotion that they've done so far, and I kind of feel like they almost dropped the ball with this one by not saying, hey, tune in to watch it live. So the match was about 25 minutes long, and I think that was too long. I'm an old school guy. I'm the traditionalist. I want to see that NWA World Champion have that 30, 40, 50, 60 minute match. But Tim Storm, at this point in his career, he just can't go that. 15 minutes, 20 minutes tops, I think, depending on how much action you have, how much walk and talk you do. The ending was terrible, that roll-up reversal. But honestly, I don't care. Like I said, I was so invested in the match, I didn't care. I enjoyed the match. I was appreciative of the effort they both put in. I was actually glad to see Tim retain the championship. I'd like to see a rematch between these two. I'd like to see another challenger come forward. I saw Dave Lagana posted on Twitter today that the NWA is open for business, and if you have a challenge for the NWA champion, let us know. And they're serious about this, but obviously it's a business as well, but they're serious about this. And the NWA title's never been defended in Maine, and I think they should consider that. Hopefully Limitless Wrestling will bring the champion in for a match, just because I would like to see the NWA title defended in person. I've never seen it defended in person. I've met former NWA champions. I've met current NWA champions in Christian Cage and in Colt Cabana when they held the titles. However, they were just doing appearances. They weren't wrestling. So if you haven't seen this match, go watch it. They have it on their YouTube page. You can watch the match in its entirety, and you won't regret it. I'm grateful for the NWA for what they're doing, for promoting this stuff, for putting it online, for making it available for us to watch, and for making the NWA interesting again. And I'm just excited to see where they go. So that's it. Stay tuned. Up next, you'll hear me talking to Aaron.
The episode where Slater crashes the little golf cart that somehow they use inside a classroom to teach driver's education.
Yeah, I don't grasp how that's an actual driver's education course myself, because it's not an actual mobile. But anyways, continue on.
No, I was just joking from the last time we had.
Well, we did have some encouragement.
Yeah, I don't know who that is, but I like the cut of her gib.
So, SmackDown's had some pretty major changes over the last couple weeks that really changed Survivor Series, huh?
Yeah, I guess they were looking at the card and they're like, nobody cares about Brock and versus Jinder Mahal, so let's throw the belt on AJ Styles. And then they're like, I guess nobody cares about Alexa Bliss versus Natalya, so let's quick switch the title over to Charlotte.
Yeah. Some pretty significant changes. Now, just because we're just already talking about it, I read something earlier about the Charlotte one, possibly happening because they wanted to pull Charlotte from the 5-on-5 match.
To save her from...
To put
Asuka?
Yeah, and put Natalya in there, and that way Asuka can go over strong, and they keep those two ladies as far apart as they can.
Right.
As long as they can.
The thing, at first, I mean, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Because, to me, the entire draw of that match was seeing Asuka and Charlotte face off.
I agree with you wholeheartedly.
That there is legitimately nothing else that I care about. We've seen, you know, I mean, over the years, how many we've seen Becky Lynch and Sasha Banks or Bayley, or
we've seen a combination of
and all of
all those girls, yeah,
are not good. You know, I mean, like, I don't mind Nia Jax, but like, I don't care about Naomi or Carmella or I just forgot her name. That's how little I care about her. The Raw captain. Woo, woo, this is your captain speaking.
Alicia Fox.
Alicia Fox, yeah, there you go. I care so little about her, I could not even remember her name.
Yep.
And the other one. Tamina.
Tamina Snuka.
Who cares?
She, it basically now Team Raw versus Team SmackDown is basically watch Asuka.
Asuka kick the shit out of her.
Yeah, like watch Asuka destroy everybody. Yeah, pretty much. Speaking of getting destroyed by everybody, I didn't understand why they were doing this or what was the appeal or what happened, but on the European tour and all the house shows, they keep having James Ellsworth get beat up by all the women.
Yeah, I haven't really been following too much, but I've been seeing
pictures
tweeted out of him progressively getting more and more bandaged up.
Yeah, it kind of started last week. We had Becky Lynch against James Ellsworth, which I was surprised they had that match because, you know, man-on-woman violence. But then you watch the match and you go, let me rephrase that. I don't care about the depiction for entertainment purposes of man-on-woman violence. See how many words I use to describe how I'm okay with men beating up women?
Oh my goodness.
And, yeah.
All of your hate tweets to Superstar ML, I am distancing myself immediately from that guy.
In a wrestling ring. In the form of wrestling, not like in everyday life, but anyways.
God, it's 2017, man. Everyone's getting arrested for everything these days.
I know. But, so I was surprised to see they had the match until I saw the match, and I was like, all right, he pushed her, and then he got beat up. But I guess on the loop of all the house shows in Europe or whatever, it's Ellsworth, like you said, more and more bandaged up, keep going out every night to apologize to Carmella, and they all beat him up, every one of the women. Didn't make any sense until a little while ago I was on YouTube looking around for a video, and I saw a recommended video of an upcoming thing of Total Divas where Carmella's on the show now and they're introducing Big Cass as her real life boyfriend.
Okay.
So because of Total Divas, Ellsworth and Carmella are broken up on SmackDown now. See what I mean?
Thank goodness. That's the best. I love when a reality show that's filmed 6 months in advance affects stuff that happens in present day.
Yep.
Remember
me too.
When they were trying to do that with when it was the Divas division?
Yeah.
And like on the TV show, they're like, oh yeah, SummerSlam's right around the corner, and like they're having relationship issues, and they're like, wait a minute, but like Royal Rumble just happened.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're like on the TV show, they're like, oh, you said a mean thing to me at dinner. I'm like, wait, what? What is going
that
on?
That dinner was 5 months ago. Yes.
Months ago.
That was
horrible.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that they're continuing with that.
Yeah, me too. But it gets Ellsworth off TV, hopefully.
You know what?
Actually, I don't mind it. I don't mind him.
Full credit to that guy.
Yeah.
I mean, he took what was a monumental ass-whooping by Braun Strowman.
Yep.
And for some reason, fans were just like, look at this guy.
Yeah.
He's the best. And they brought him back. And they brought him back. And
has it been a year yet?
Title matches.
Has it been a year yet?
When
more than a year, maybe? Has it been than a freaking year?
When did AJ Styles debut? Was it this year's Royal Rumble or was it last year's Royal Rumble?
No, dude, it was Royal Rumble in 2016.
Shit, so maybe it has been over a year. Right?
I think so. Let's see here. James Ellsworth. I'm looking it up.
Oh.
I feel like it has been more than a year. And so there's a part of me, there's one part of me that's like, hey, you know what? Fuck, dude, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he was doing, where was he at, a Baltimore?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he had his first singles match on July 25th, 2016 as an enhancement talent, being defeated by Braun Strowman.
There it is. It's going on, almost getting close to a year and a half now.
Yep. Yep.
You know, I mean, he was just like a local little wrestling thing, and now he's got a WWE t-shirt and touring the world and all kinds of stuff.
He's got an action figure, made some money.
Yeah.
You know, sincerely, good for him. But you gotta have guys like Bo Dallas who are going like, what the frig? Yeah. What the frig?
Yeah,
I'm a second-generation wrestler. You can actually go on the network and see me have good competitive matches on NXT. And yet...
Yeah.
Yeah. But, anyhow, what was the... So SmackDown just got over.
Yeah.
Raw finally showed up on SmackDown, apparently.
Okay. Explain this to me.
I will.
A couple weeks ago, we saw a pay-per-view on Raw where 8 members of the Raw roster literally attempted murder on Braun Strowman.
Yes.
Braun Strowman showed back up, beat them up for like 2 seconds.
Yep.
And now he's like, go Raw. I'm on your side. I'm going to fight these other people. How does that happen?
Yeah, I had a problem with that myself.
This build to Survivor Series being Raw versus SmackDown makes zero sense.
It's been pretty horrible.
You know, like, yep. if they did... Okay, you got the Royal Rumble.
Yep.
In the Royal Rumble match, you kind of see hints of people, you know, kind of siding with their brand.
Yep.
You could build almost an entire year's worth of story taking you up to a Survivor Series where you can have it brand versus brand.
Yep.
But to randomly do it in 3 weeks before an event, you know, where just out of nowhere SmackDown shows up and attacks the Raw roster.
Yeah, it's kind of stupid.
And you're like, wait a minute, these two guys, why are they fighting together when I just watched them beat the piss out of each other for 3 months straight?
It's one thing to ignore their differences, quote-unquote, like if they were both being attacked at once, and then they kind of go, you know, like work together to fight back the opposition, but then they go right back to fighting each other, like in the Royal Rumble, like you're talking about. Yeah. However, like you just said, when you have Braun Strowman, who they tried to murder him,
yeah,
and, you know, he, I'm all, okay, Monday night he put Kane through the ring.
Correct.
Right? So, I mean, he hasn't let it... He, apparently, Monday night, he hadn't let it go. But Tuesday night, we're all good.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Also, speaking of Braun Strowman being murdered in a garbage truck...
Yep.
How did he drive a garbage truck and pop out the back? Like, did he live inside a garbage truck for 2 weeks?
You know, it goes back to when Sabu was first in ECW. And he'd come out on, like, a dolly, and he was chained to it, and he had the Hannibal Lecter mask on. Anytime he came out, he'd just be thrashing back and forth and have the mask on. The second they took the chains off him, he'd race in the ring like a madman and on and on and on. And he's just like, people can't honestly think I'm like that all the time. When would I rest?
Yeah.
Where would I get all the energy for that? When would I rest? And so, yeah, I mean, it's cool, like... It's kind of cool television, I guess, to see the dump truck back up to the limo, and then have the dump truck just dump out, and then, you know what I mean, the trash truck just dump out, and then have him stand up like that. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, but like, how is he eating?
Well, he's in a trash truck. He's just picking through the trash.
For 2 weeks, he was just picking trash and eating it?
Yeah, apparently. And staying very clean while doing so, because he didn't even have, like, a debris mark on him.
Ugh. Unbelievable.
No, I know what you're saying, but but anyhow, let's chitty chat up NXT TakeOver so then we can talk about Survivor Series. Or do I just finish talking about Survivor Series?
Let's finish up Survivor Series. We all right. Talked about the women's
match. Let's finish up Survivor Series so we can talk about the beginning of Survivor Series. And apparently the dark match or the pre-show match this episode is going to be Enzo Amore against Kalisto, and I'm cool with not watching that ever.
What, you don't want to see Kalisto carry a match for probably even 8 minutes and then lose on some weird fluke pin?
You know, I will say this. When Kalisto and Ryback were having those constant pre-show matches back at the beginning of the year for the U.S. title, openly admit I enjoyed those matches, actually. They got better and better.
I will admit I enjoyed the
Royal Rumble
the
one?
Belt. No. I enjoyed the belt that Ryback wore.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
Okay.
Like his little weight belt with the...
Right.
Yeah, the pre-show stopper.
Yes, the pre-show stopper. I thought that was good.
Yeah, that's the only thing I remember about their feud, other than they had matches pretty much on the pre-show of every event.
They actually got really... Like, they worked together so much, they got better.
Yeah.
Anyhow, Intercontinental Champion The Miz against United States Champion Baron Corbin. I think this match will be entertaining because of The Miz, and I'm pretty sure he should win this.
Yeah, that would be my prediction as well.
Now, do you think they're going to do the bullshit where they have, like, it comes down to the main event, and it, like, Raw and SmackDown are going to be tied for wins throughout the night? You know what I mean? They'll keep a running tally like that.
I'm sure they're going to.
Because if that's the case,
they keep saying it's bragging rights.
Because if that's the case, you know, then I feel like really the only matches that, like in this match here, it doesn't matter who wins this one. Right. It really doesn't. Rather it be Miz, rather it be Baron Corbin. That's the other problem. Like none of these matches, but all right. So Miz against Baron Corbin, it doesn't matter who wins because next week it does. The outcome has no bearing on what happens next week on the shows.
Right. Baron Corbin will go back to fighting like lightweight, light heavyweights.
Yeah.
Which is all he ever fights. Remember when he was on Raw?
Yep.
And he fought Kalisto like every week, and now he's on SmackDown and he's fighting Sin Cara every week.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. Just swapped one Lucha brother for the other. And then Raw Tag Team Champions Cesaro and Sheamus against the Usos.
That one, I mean, if they're going to do a running tally, I could see the Usos winning.
You know what I think they should do on this one?
They should explode the ring so none of the four of them ever have matches again.
They should have the revival run and beat all of them down.
Oh my god, that would be amazing. it's gotta be close, right?
Yeah, I feel like but have the revival come down and just beat them all up.
I mean, I haven't heard anything update wise.
Yeah, you know what would be a good faction? I think
that not only that with the revival, I mean, I could see this being a match where you got KO and Sammy, you know, Sammy coming down.
Yeah, that too. Yeah, I could see. I mean, I understand they went into business for themselves, quote unquote, and they got themselves kicked off the European tour as a punishment. They got sent home because they were supposed to, I guess, get beat down by the New Day, and they didn't, right. Allegedly. You're not really going to find a more entertaining duo on SmackDown right now than those two, I don't think.
Duo? No, you're correct.
Yeah. Why is there be a more entertaining trio?
Well, I would say New Day.
Maybe not. Kevin Owens has got a sense of humor that's different than the New Day. New Day's is loud and over the top and
right, but this Kevin Owens isn't the sense of humor Kevin Owens. This is the angry, I love my best friend Kevin Owens.
Okay. Well, do you think this whole bit is just going to end up being one, like Owens finally turning on Zayn at the end again? Like,
come on. Like, this is the Jericho storyline 100% all over again.
I kind of hope not.
I kind of hope not, too.
I kind of hope what happens, actually, is Zayn turns on Owens. I think that would make it more interesting.
Oh, absolutely.
If Zayn is the one that turned on Owens in the end, I mean, that... And stayed the heel. That would make it more interesting. But I don't know. I like to see these guys win the tag belts and have a good long run as tag champions. And anyways. But yeah, I could see a run in on this match. The Shield against the New Day. Apparently this is not elimination rules match. It's just a straight up six-man tag. I'm actually... This one could be fun to watch.
I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you agree or disagree. I think you might agree with me.
Yeah.
Even though you despise the guy.
Yeah.
Since the Shield got back together.
Yeah.
I mean, even though Roman Reigns has been gone and it's really just been Rollins and Ambrose.
Right, right.
Has this not been the best Ambrose has looked in like 3 years?
Yes.
Like he's on fire again in the ring.
Yeah, since the Shield got back together, this is the best Ambrose looked. And this is going to shock you. When you hear me say these next words.
He's your favorite wrestler of all time.
Oh, fuck no. That was Roman Reigns' best promo probably ever this past Monday night.
You know what?
What?
That was probably the exact same level of promo for me from Roman Reigns because I fast-forwarded through it like I always do.
You should watch it if you haven't deleted it from your episode yet.
It has been deleted.
Yeah. Maybe find it on YouTube if they have it. I don't know.
I'm good.
But legitimately, though, it wasn't just his, it's my, it wasn't what he's been. It almost felt like they said, here, go say what you want. And he did. And it made sense. Because it was
that, or they finally gave him a script?
No, they've been giving him a script.
How can you tell?
I don't know. I feel like they've been giving him a script.
Oh, man. The man.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Sucker.
But anyway, no, that's Booker T.
That's the wrong promo sheet.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's the wrong
promo sheet. The man. Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
No, once again.
Sir, we're sorry. Please, just, you're taking old papers out of the garbage and using them as your notepad.
Oh, sorry.
My bad.
But I don't know. I think the Shield against the New Day is going to be interesting.
When the man comes running over you.
Mr. Reigns. That is Hulk Hogan. That is not you.
I'm sorry. I've never heard of him. Is that a weird 60s wrestler?
Yeah. To be the man. No. Shut up. Just shut up right now.
I am the man that was.
The man that is, and the man that'll ever be.
No, Mr. Reigns, please, stop watching the network.
You're just embarrassing yourself now. Now I actually want to see him do all that.
You know what? That, if Dolph Ziggler, when he's impersonating everybody's entrances... If he would just do stupid promos like that, it would be way better.
Yeah, it would be.
I am the man. In peace.
That guy's dead. No, he's not, but his career is. Anyways.
I don't get it.
His career's dead, get it?
But it's not, though, because he's going to be on the 25th anniversary of Raw.
The Undertaker is?
Yeah.
Think so?
They announced it.
Oh, that's right.
Come on.
So, at the 25th anniversary of Raw, while we're talking about it, they're going to do the Barclays Center and the Manhattan Center. If I was a fan, I think I'd rather be at the Manhattan Center.
If I was a fan, I would absolutely rather be at the Manhattan Center for the atmosphere.
Yep.
But you know all the good wrestlers are going to be at the Barclays Center.
I'm okay with that. I'd want to be at the Manhattan Center because
you imagine, though. In the Manhattan Center, if the Undertaker did his entrance in that building,
it'd be awesome.
Where
and
there's
short.
Like 3,000 people just going apeshit instead of, 18,000 people who can't really see anything and they're kind of watching it on TV screens.
Just think about the atmosphere. Like the WWE, yeah. I'm not going to say they'll never run a small venue like that again, but It would take a major downturn in business for them to be running the Manhattan Center again.
You know what, though?
What?
I mean, I get that they play like huge arenas and stuff.
Yep.
I think they could make so much money running small. Like, if they did, you know, even house shows. If they're like, you know what, we're going to do a house show at the Manhattan Center. Or we're going to do one up in
at the Mid Hudson Civic Center.
Yeah, like stuff like that, where they did, you know, 3,000 to 6,000 person arenas.
Yeah,
those things will be packed. The crowds will be totally into it. Instead of, you know, blacking out seats and not selling upper deck and crowding people down and around, you know.
Are you gonna go to the Manhattan Center?
You know what?
You should.
I really should. The tickets already sell out.
I don't think so. You totally should if you could get one.
Yeah, I gotta look up the date of that now.
They have a house show. They're coming to Portland on December 16th, and it's SmackDown brand. And I'm exceptionally tempted to go. I have to work that night. I have to take a few hours off from work, and then it's the idea of driving to Portland and driving back after by myself. But you know, seeing Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, AJ Styles, Charlotte. I mean, those are all very, very, very good reasons to want to go to that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just to see them in person.
Oh, absolutely.
I have never seen Nakamura in person. I've seen Styles in person in these shows in Maine a couple of times, and TNA when they ran Portland back in 2005 or 8 or whatever it was, and whatnot. And I've seen Owens. But never seen Nakamura, and just seeing them, a lot of them again, would be cool.
Yeah.
So, anyhow, Team Raw versus Team SmackDown. And there's a part of me that's like, oh, Team Raw has Kurt Angle and Triple H.
Right.
It's like, are they... It just seems like they made a lot of changes the last couple weeks to try and make Survivor Series better. I commend them for it. It is better. I will be more entertained watching this show than I was the show they had advertised 2 weeks ago. But, again, Raw is Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Triple H. On paper, that's a pretty awesome team, you know? Pretty great group of guys. Team SmackDown, Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Shinsuke Nakamura, and John Cena. Again, on paper, that's a pretty solid team. I liked Rusev's Twitter about John Cena. Wait, you know, because everyone else had to win a match to be on Team SmackDown, and John Cena just got chosen. And Rusev is like, way to wing your way onto Team SmackDown, John Cena. Go get him, Tiger. I thought that was hilarious. I don't know why. I just did. Who do you think is going to win this one?
Well.
And I bet you it'll be at least 45 minutes long. Just saying.
No.
Yeah.
No way. There's no way that goes over 43 minutes.
Well, challenge accepted, sir.
It's a tough one. Because on the one hand, John Cena doesn't lose matches.
Yeah.
And on the other hand, Triple H definitely doesn't lose matches. So, I don't know.
Now, are you seeing what I'm seeing in this? Are you seeing that this match is probably going to result into a Triple H versus Shane McMahon match down the line?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. This is also a... like, to me, when I look at this, I think Team Raw is going to get the win because Team SmackDown started the war. And it's just like in any weapons match. The guy who gets the table out is the guy going through the table.
Bro.
What?
What is your ticket budget for the Monday Night Raw 25th Anniversary Manhattan Center Grand Ballroom?
I don't know.
Take a guess what the sliding value of the tickets that are available for this event are.
$250 to $1,250.
Well, no. Cheap seats are $403.
Holy fuck. Is this all resale? Did it sell out and this is resale?
No. I am on Ticketmaster's site.
Yes, Ticketmaster now does verified resale on their website.
Do they really?
Yes.
Get that. I'm going to have to. I have a friend that's a ticket broker. I'm going to see. Oh, my goodness. To sit on the floor, it's going to be like $700.
Yeah. No, yeah. Ticketmaster now does verified resale through their own. Because I've been looking at getting Celtics tickets for my son for Christmas and trying to figure out which game I want to go to and blah, blah, blah. And I was looking and I noticed that, like, Ticketmaster does verified resale. And so, you know, you look at seats that are next to each other and one's $59.50 and then the other one's $128.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's like Ticketmaster's decided, oh, StubHub's not the only game in town anymore.
This is nuts. Like, all of the seats that are on the floor,
yep,
are in corners nowhere near. Like, I could sit in section F, which is on the other side of, like, it's by the entryway, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
But the entryway blocks the ring.
Yep.
So, oh my goodness. And those tickets are almost $800.
Wow. Well, I guess you're not going.
Yeah, maybe I won't be doing that. Let's see. How expensive is the Barclays Center? Oh, my Lord. Oh, well, those are only $210 for the cheap seats. That's not so ridiculous.
No, that's very ridiculous. Our definitions are different.
Yeah, I could sit all the way in the top.
Yeah.
In the corner.
Yeah.
For $210 a ticket.
Well, that seems reasonable, sir.
Yeah, at least, I could sit in the front row of a section that's, you know, like right on center ice for only $235.
That's not bad, then. There you go.
But, you know, that's front row of the third level.
Question for you. How many people fit in the Barclays Center? What's its capacity? Is it 20,000?
For wrestling? I don't know.
Well, I'm looking at the WWE Live Holiday Tour at the Cross Insurance Arena in Cumberland County Civic Center. Take a wild guess what the sliding scale is here.
Let's see. Like $32 to $96. No, $118.
$15.
Oh, my God. I hate you.
To $104+.
Yeah. Okay, well, the capacity of the Barclays Center for basketball is 17,700. Hockey is just under 16,000. For a concert is 19,000. So I figure it'll probably be about 18.
Okay, yeah.
When they set up the ring and set, you know, like the entryway stuff and block off areas.
Yep, yeah. Kind of makes sense.
Oh my goodness, that's a downer.
That does suck.
Yeah, the price you pay for living in New York.
You live in New Jersey, too.
Well, dude, I'm literally 10 minutes across the bridge, and I'm in Manhattan.
Yeah. Still. Yeah, right here we go. Section E, row 14. It's a standard ticket. Section E is the section aligned with the ring. It's the first. It's okay. It's the only section off the floor, because the Cumberland County Civic Center, I think, is 6,000. It's max or whatever. And those are only $45.
It's not bad. $45 is reasonable.
Yeah, it is.
It's $700 to sit with an obstructed view. Not cool.
To sit with an obstructed view. That's awesome. Yeah. No, yeah, it's go ahead.
I was just going to say, getting back to the Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
It's definitely building towards a Triple H Shane McMahon, probably at WrestleMania.
Yep.
I like the matchups in here. I would like to see Cena and Samoa Joe, or Cena and Balor, go against each other a little bit. Everyone else you've seen, I mean, I'd like to see Shinsuke and Balor. Yeah, I guess maybe even Bobby Roode. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't care about Randy Orton anymore.
Neither do I.
John Cena has, like, he's fought almost everybody. So for me, I mean, I think he can have great matches with a bunch of the newer people that he hasn't gone with yet.
Yep.
But in a situation like this, it's just going to be a cluster. You know, it's going to be tons of, you know, just bodies everywhere.
I feel like at one point you're going to see him RKO everybody because you know this match is going to break down several times.
Right.
And the referee's going to lose control.
Yeah. You know, and like, I mean, how many people on this used to be partners with each other or something?
Oh, yeah. It's too numerous, really.
Yeah.
And then if you look at Team SmackDown, I don't know, Randy Orton, is he a good guy or a bad guy?
He's the guy.
Yeah. So that's the other thing, like, pretty much everybody on both, like, pretty much everybody on Team SmackDown's a baby face for the most part.
That's what surprised me about Raw. When Triple H came down to the ring,
yeah,
he got a hero's welcome.
Oh, well, because we haven't seen him in so long.
Right, and it's also because of NXT. Everybody loves him.
Yeah, oh, yeah, absolutely. And he's been wrestling overseas, getting huge ovations.
But when we last saw him, he was not such a nice person.
Well, no, but he's been gone a long time. That's all that matters.
So, but now is he a heel or a face?
Well, he got a big ovation. He announced himself as a fifth member. He pedigreed Jason Jordan and made him look dumb. Just yep. As dumb as his whiny, almost crying, begging for his daddy not to kick him off the team. And then Kurt Angle just stood there watching it happen and didn't do anything about it. Because, you know, that made sense.
Well, it's his son, but it's also his boss.
Right, that's true, yeah.
So you can't hate your boss.
Yeah.
No one's ever done that.
No, hasn't happened. It loses its luster for me when Triple H's music kicks on and he comes power walking to the ring and they go, oh, it's our chief executive officer or chief operating officer, the CEO. Just say it's Triple H. Like, don't give us his corporate title. Just say it's Triple H.
Right.
Because we know who it is. Whereas on Team Raw, essentially Kurt Angle's a face, Strowman's a face, Balor's a face, but Joe and Triple H, they're heels, so.
But they're not, though, because now they're siding with Raw against the evil SmackDown.
Right, yeah, because SmackDown positioned themselves as the heels right away.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah. Team Raw versus Team SmackDown women's match.
We sort of talked about that, and
we did, but I just want to mention everybody on the teams. Raw is Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha Banks, and Bayley. And SmackDown is Becky Lynch, Carmella, Naomi, Tamina, to be announced with Lana on their side there outside the ring. And, of course, we all know Natalya is going to be the to be announced, I would assume.
Unless
what? There's nobody down on NXT.
Comes back.
Oh, that's right. I heard that rumor as well.
See, I thought that she, you know, the things that I was reading was that she was going to be back on Raw. And she was going to take part in that match with Bayley and
and for the last
Dana
spot
Brooke and whoever the other one, Mickey James for the last spot.
I had read that too.
And to be honest with you, I think it would have actually been kind of interesting if she won and Bayley was off, because kind of continue Bayley's descent into, you know, not the lovable hugger.
Well, I want to see Team Raw. I want to see Asuka start the match. And I want to see whoever is against it. Carmella starts with her. And Carmella's going to be all like, I'm fabulous. And then get kicked in the face and get pinned. And Naomi comes in and gets choked out. Like, I want to see Asuka single-handedly eliminate every person on SmackDown. And nobody from Raw tag in or get in the ring at all.
I was going to say, I could easily see her getting all the eliminations.
Yeah.
And I mean, how amazing would that be if she's the only one that competed?
And then after she eliminates everyone on SmackDown, when her music kicks on, she turns and faces Team Raw and just goes, come on.
Yeah.
And challenges all of them. And then she beats all of them up.
I mean, so good.
This is essentially what's going to happen eventually.
I really hope so.
Yeah.
She is so good. And yeah, she just needs to decimate everybody.
Yeah, I just... When Pete Dunne came out and challenged Enzo Amore last week, I thought they'd job him out to Enzo, like what they did to Tyler Bate on 205 Live the next night. That's what I thought was going to happen to Dunne.
Right.
Because I feel like whoever... NXT... It's almost like, oh, they've been down in NXT... And even though they've been down there killing it for us and killing it at the takeovers, we're going to treat them like they just showed
still
up on
minor league.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to treat them like they just showed up and they got to lose right away first and rebuild themselves, you know?
Yeah.
But anyhow, Alexa Bliss against Charlotte.
You know what? I'm way more interested now than I was when it was Alexa Bliss and Natalya.
Yeah, me too. I think Charlotte's going to win.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think with an Alexa Natalya match,
yep.
Neither of them really can run a match.
Yeah.
That I think it would have been kind of a mess, but I'm glad that Charlotte is there because she's pretty good.
Charlotte's pretty awesome.
Pretty
yeah.
Good.
Yeah. So now Charlotte has held the NXT Women's Championship, the Divas Championship, the Women's Championship, the Raw Women's Championship, and the SmackDown Women's Championship.
Yes.
I think it'd be safe to say she's the most decorated women's champion in WWE history.
Yeah.
Only because no one else could win the Divas Championship that's on the current roster.
Well, that's true. And, yeah.
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 I mean, there's been 5 women's championships in the history of the WWE, and Charlotte's held 4 of them. The other one was retired before she got there, so.
Right.
Yeah.
But, I mean... I don't know, man, because like Moolah held the title for like 72 straight years.
See, this is where I have a problem with Moolah's title reign. She lost it more than once, but they just didn't. It was never quote unquote recognized.
Right.
And yeah, she basically owned the title and wrestled her trainees. I mean, it wasn't like it's a farce.
Right.
You know, it's a farce, really, for being realistic. So.
And then we have the champion versus champion, Brock Lesnar AJ Styles match.
Yeah, I'm very excited about this match. These two guys have never wrestled each other.
Yeah, and I think this is going to be the best wrestling match that Lesnar's had, probably in 18 years.
Lesnar has basically, since his return to WWE, almost every match he's been in, except his match against Kofi in Japan, which was a squash, it's been against a big guy. It's been against The Undertaker. It's been against Roman Reigns. It's been against Braun Cena, Triple H. You know what I mean? Like, this has tremendous potential to be Lesnar's best match since his return to the WWE.
Yeah.
Who do you think is going to win?
I mean, it's got to be Lesnar, just because when he finally loses, it's going to be for the title, you know?
I kind of feel like the upset victory on this one would be AJ Styles, the surprise victory, I mean.
And don't get me wrong.
I almost feel like that would be... If it was Jinder Mahal and anyone but Lesnar won, I'd be like, this is bullshit. But now that it's AJ Styles, I'm like, you know, I could see if Styles beats him, I could see Brock Lesnar being pissed off enough that he surrenders the Universal title to go to SmackDown to go after Styles to get revenge. Or he enters himself into the Royal Rumble and wins the Royal Rumble match so he can go challenge AJ Styles on SmackDown. And so they strip him of the Universal Championship. Or something like that.
And we don't get AJ Styles Nakamura at WrestleMania.
Yeah, which that would be way better, actually. Yeah. Because they just did that tease in Italy?
Yeah, wherever it was in Europe.
Yeah, people and the fans lost their minds, even though they know they'd never get to see that live and in person.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Styles Nakamura at WrestleMania next year it's got to be the marquee match that they need to be looking at, personally, in my opinion.
Yeah, and they need to give it 2.5 hours of the card.
They need to give it, yeah, they need to give it a lot of time, and they need to give it a proper build. And then all they have to do is look at Wrestle Kingdom 10, you know, in 2016 that match those two guys had, where they stole the show and just absolutely killed it, and then both headed to the WWF and WWE. And now here we are 2 years later, and they've only had that one knuckle dust in the Money in the Bank match this past summer. So, which, I mean, come on. That was awesome just watching that.
God, the crowd reaction when the two of them looked at each other and then moved the ladders aside.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was awesome. So, but yeah, Royal Rumble got a lot better this. I mean, Survivor Series got a lot more interesting.
Yep. Absolutely.
And I'm off this Sunday night, and cousin allergic to everything food ever, Paul's coming over to watch me apparently eat as we watch the pay-per-view, because I have no idea what type of snack he could have. I've given up trying to figure it out. So,
paper. Huh? Paper and water.
Paper and water. Here's a notebook and a glass of water. Enjoy, pal. NXT TakeOver War Games. And I got to say, I'm pretty disappointed in the fact that the best match of the night is not even going to be on the fucking card. Yeah.
Yeah. Apparently they're going to air it on NXT like a week or two from now.
Well, probably the Wednesday after.
But this is the thing. I don't want to see that because I'll already know the result.
The thing is, and I agree with you, the thing is, this should not be a dark match. Okay. Yeah. Drew McIntyre against Andre Almas for the title should be a dark match. Or Aleister Black against the Velveteen Dream. Or Cachisono against Lars Sullivan. Which, by the way, I'm pretty excited about Cachisono versus Lars Sullivan and Aleister Black. And I'm even looking forward to Aleister Black against the Velveteen Dream. But Pete Dunne versus Johnny Gargano is going to steal the show. No doubt about it. Steal the show.
Absolutely.
And this is, I honestly think they just need to put this match on the main card. Make it a 6-show card. Make TakeOver 3 hours and put this on the card. So the rest of the card, Cachisono against Lars Sullivan. I like Lars. He's a big guy. And he looks like he's good at beating people up. So. Right. Aleister Black against the Velveteen Dream. Actually, I'm not a big fan of the Velveteen Dream as a character. I have enjoyed this build with him versus Black, though. So,
right.
Drew McIntyre against Andre Almas. Andre Almas and Almas, whatever. This is the guy that we were promised when he first came in, and we're finally seeing him. So,
right, but I still don't think that he's winning a title.
No, either do I. And I almost... When McIntyre won the title, I thought it was kind of cool, but it's like I don't want to see him as champion because he was a WWE guy. He was an Intercontinental champion. You know, I know he left and killed it on the indie scene, and now he's back, but it's like...
Well, he was the muscle of 3MB.
That's true. But he also feels like he's a Vince McMahon guy because Vince McMahon's the one that endorsed him when he first came into the WWE.
Right.
So you have a Vince McMahon guy who's the champion of NXT, and it's almost kind of like, I don't like it. NXT is our thing that we get to watch because it's better than, you know, because Triple H is running it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't see Almas winning either. Ember Moon against Kairi Sane versus Nikki Cross versus Peyton Royce for the NXT Women's Championship. Now,
I think this match
has
the possibility to be absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
As long as they don't do what they always do with NXT Women Triple Threat or Fatal 4-Way matches, where one person gets knocked out and lays on the ground by the ring, and three people go up and beat someone up by an announce table.
Yeah,
and then
yes.
They come back to the ring, and that other person beats them real easy.
Now, who do you think is going to win the match?
I want Kairi Sane to win this match.
So here's the thing. They've been pushing her. Go ahead, but what?
I think Nikki Cross wins it.
I think Peyton Royce is going to win.
Really?
Yep. And
because of Billie Kay interference?
Yes. And I think what I like about the idea of Peyton Royce winning it, or even Nikki Cross winning it, is it's kind of – it'd be too obvious for Kairi Sane to win the belt because she was so dominant at the Mae Young Classic – and then she's been dominant since then. So if she's not involved in the decision, like if her and Ember Moon or her and Nikki Cross are off battling on the floor, or something happens, and then like Peyton Royce gets or Sane hits her elbow, then Peyton throws her out of the ring and pins Moon type of thing. You know how they do that?
Yeah.
And I think I would almost like to see that, and then at the next takeover, Kari can win the title in a one-on-one match.
I could see that. I don't think that they're going to go with another Japanese import women champion after the year and a half reign of Asuka.
I think you need to see someone else with a title around their waist for a little bit, yeah, before they put it on Kari Sane, personally.
Yeah. But. And for me, I think Peyton Royce is going to take the fall for Nikki Cross.
Okay. Fair enough.
That. And for me, Ember Moon has not done anything to wow me yet.
You know, when she was on the independent scene as Athena, she had a couple matches I thought that were really good and whatnot. But since she's come to NXT, I haven't been overly impressed with anything she's done.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was that last match she had with Asuka was pretty good. But,
yeah.
I mean, Asuka could get good matches out of a bucket. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Yeah, she could.
So. Man, she would kick that bucket so hard.
She would kick that bucket and put dents all through it. Yeah. She would wreck that bucket like no one's wrecked a bucket before.
She would kick that bucket up into the $408 seats of the Manhattan Center.
It's not that far, really. No.
Three stories up.
Oh, that's true. That's true. And then the final match, the return of War Games.
Oh, my God.
The authors are paying. Ackerman Razor with Roderick Strong against Sanity. Alexander Wolf, Eric Young, and Killian Dane against the undisputed heir of Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly. Who's winning?
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is the thing. It's always really tough for them to make the Authors of Pain lose.
That's why Roderick Strong's on their team.
Right.
But it's not an elimination match.
It's not. It's just the...
So, like, Alexander Wolf could take the fall.
Correct.
I feel like if Adam Cole, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly don't win,
it's
then...
It's down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And
I don't
really care. I don't really care who they beat, but I think Adam Cole is pinning somebody in this match.
Yeah, I think so, because that'll then elevate him to be the number one contender for the NXT Championship.
Yep, and I think he's going to win that at the Royal Rumble takeover.
Yeah, I can go with that. I can go with that. I just... I don't want to get too excited for the match, because we're not going to see any color.
You never know.
But it's just going to be so friggin' cool and unique to see a WWE show, if you will, with the two rings and then the War Games steel cage and everything. I mean, yeah.
Yep.
I think that's one of the things, like, when WCW was around and they would do World War III and they would do War Games or whatever, it was different. It looked different. When you have the two wrestling rings out there, or the three wrestling rings for War Games or whatever it is, it looked different. It was a different approach. It was just like when they had the ramp, the stage that went to the ring.
Yep.
I always liked that too.
Yeah, I did too. And ECW did that for a while.
Yep, they did that on a few shows.
And they always talked about how much it hurt to get slammed off of there or onto there.
Yeah, but it looked different. It looked cool.
Yes.
So, I don't know.
That was when Raven came running down and tripped and fell through the ropes, right?
Yes.
He was trying to make his house so good.
Yep. See, that's the thing that I think I don't like about WWE, is that Raw, SmackDown, or any of the pay-per-views except for WrestleMania, they all look the same.
Yes.
The entranceway is the same every single time. Oh, at TLC, they had a bunch of hanging chairs, or they had ladders in the aisle, or whatever. Right. But it doesn't matter. Like, I remember, well, you remember back in the day when all the pay-per-views had their own set?
Yep.
Yeah, I went to Backlash in 2005. That's, I went to Backlash in 2005 in New Hampshire, and they still had the big swinging hook things.
Oh,
you
right.
know, yeah. But now everything is the LED screens, and maybe they are in the LED ramp, and
right.
It just, it all looks the same. It doesn't look any different. It's like whether you're looking at the ring for Raw or SmackDown or Survivor Series, it looks exactly the same.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the things. I don't know. I think that loses some of it for me, but whatever. Maybe not.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, when you go back and you watch the old, like, Raws from the late 90s, and essentially all they had was the TitanTron. I mean,
yeah.
I almost kind of missed that. Because then the focus was on the action in the ring.
Yeah. But, yeah, unfortunately, it's a bygone era.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It absolutely is. So. Anywho.
But I would say this is probably the first takeover in, I mean, since I can remember, that I'm not, like, super excited about the entire card. There's,
yeah.
There's, like, three matches I'm really interested in.
Yep.
One of them's not even going to be on the show.
Yeah.
And the other ones, I'm just like, you know, I'm sure they'll be good, but it's not, you know, like a typical takeover where they have five matches and every match is, oh man, this is going to be awesome.
But I think what you'll find is as you watch all five of these matches on Saturday night, they'll be great matches and the show will fit together and be great as a whole. And then when you watch the Survivor Series the next night, which has its only eight matches, but they'll be longer. Like, you know, the women's match will probably be long. I tell you, it's going to be a 45-minute match of Team Raw versus Team SmackDown on the men's traditional Survivor Series match.
What match do you think ends the show? Do you think it's Lesnar-Styles? Or do you think that it's
I think it should be Lesnar and Styles, but this whole thing is focused around the 5-on-5 men's match. So that'll main event the show. But I think it should be Lesnar versus Styles, personally.
Yeah. They'll probably open with that, because that's, you know,
Jesus.
What they do.
They need to open with the Intercontinental title match. Yeah, sorry. Not title
either
match.
Either that or the tag match.
Miz versus Corbin. Yes, actually, that would be even better. The Cesaro and Sheamus against the Usos, because you have so many other tag matches throughout the night. Let's space out those three singles matches.
Yeah.
But no, I don't know. Since the change of Survivor Series, I'm interested a lot in Lesnar against Styles and Bliss against Flair. And
yeah, it's really weird that they had this whole build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh well, I mean, not really a whole build, but like the Mahal Lesnar thing, they've been sort of working on that for like a month or so.
Quite a while.
And then just randomly, it's just like, yep, here's the new match. Like the women's title match, there was really nothing.
Yep.
Like, there's no build.
No care at all of Alexa Bliss against Natalya.
But, you know, and it's funny because I was watching, as I'm watching SmackDown tonight, I'm like, all right, you know, how are they going to screw Charlotte out of the belt this time? But, you know, yeah, I don't know who's making the decisions to change stuff up last minute, but kudos to you.
Yep.
Also,
I agree.
To see Ric Flair coming out.
So, remember last week I was talking about my concerns of Mahal winning the title back in India?
Yeah.
Well, I was looking into it more recently because Triple H on Twitter challenged Mahal. Yeah.
And he accepted.
And Mahal, of course he did. So I went and looked at those shows. I didn't realize this. India, it's Raw brand that's touring over there. They're going to like Abu Dhabi and two shows in India and stuff like that. But it's the Raw brand show. So the WWE Championship, like, AJ Styles isn't there. He's advertised at the house shows over here in the States with the SmackDown brand.
Okay.
So Mahal's just going with the Raw group to tour India and over there. So he can't win the title back because he doesn't have an opportunity for it.
Unless he does it on a house show.
Shut up. So do you think Mahal is going to beat Triple H?
No. Well, okay. Yes, because he's in India.
I mean, he's beat Nakamura. He's beat AJ Styles on the house shows.
But, I mean, okay. This
beat Randy Orton.
It's not going to be televised in America.
Nope.
So Triple H can lose. Mm-hmm. And they're in India, so they're going to have Mahal probably go over. And that would be like a huge deal if people in India cared.
If people in India what?
Cared.
Do you think they care?
I don't think they do.
I wonder. I wonder if they do care.
I just want an explanation as to what happened to the great Khali.
Well, he retired. He's from a wrestling school over there.
No, he showed up.
Oh.
He helped him beat Randy Orton in the Punjabi prison match.
Then he held the title up.
Walked off with the title belt, and then he's never been heard from again. You know, there's no mention of it, no anything.
Well, I guess Mahal needed the rub.
Guess.
Anyhow, I think that's all the wrestling chat I got this week for these go home shows for TakeOver and Survivor Series. You want to add, sir?
No, I think that's all I got.
Cool. Well, like Aaron said earlier on the Twitter, I'm Superstar ML.
You can hit me up at Aaron S. Bell.
Show is Thousand Holds Pod. And the Facebook is Podcast for Thousand Holds. And yeah.
I'm not the podcast. I'm the podcast. No, Mr. Rain. Now you're just reading the internet.
Fantastic.